Georgia's Supreme Court is deciding the fate of Marcus Dixon. When he was 18, Dixon had sex with a 15-year-old girl. A jury found him guilty of aggravated child molestation. In Georgia, that crime carries a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years in prison. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports on how mandatory minimums are determining the outcome of this case and others across the United States.
In the last half century, America has flip-flopped on mandatory minimum sentences. They were big in the 50s and 60s. By 1970, Congressman George H.W. Bush was objecting to them on the floor of the House. President Nixon signed a bill into law that repealed many laws requiring judges to give minimum sentences for drug-related crimes. And today, most states have some form of mandatory minimum law. Democratic Governor Zell Miller implemented the one in Georgia. Michael Bowers was Georgia's attorney general at the time.
The general idea was to keep people who commit serious crimes out of society to protect society. The principal focus not being on rehabilitation, not being on punishment per se, not being on the idea that we're going to change the world for the good, but to keep people from getting hurt by people who were going through what was in effect a revolving criminal justice door.
Many mandatory minimum sentencing laws address drug-related offenses or crimes involving guns. The Supreme Court upheld California's three strikes law last year. Emory University Law School professor Mark Miller understands politicians' desire to appear tough on crime, but he thinks the dictates of mandatory minimum laws leave too little room for judicial discretion.
We need to have and should have, and criminal law in this country traditionally has had, enough variation to allow individualization in individual cases and judgment about where a crime properly fits. What mandatory penalties do, and what three strikes and similar provisions also do, is oversimplify wide ranges of cases, therefore producing disparity and injustice.
Disparity, he says, because very different crimes get lumped into the same category, all with the same mandatory minimums. For example, Georgia's Seven Deadly Sins law lists seven crimes that carry mandatory minimum sentences. Marcus Dixon was convicted of one of those crimes, aggravated child molestation. He had sex with a 15-year-old girl when he was 18. The judge in the case was required to sentence the former football star and honor roll student to 10 years in prison. Miller of Emory Law School sees this as a case of prosecutorial power run amok.
When prosecutors seek excessively severe sanctions because of the power they've been given, no one can moderate. We know, for example, in the Dixon case, that the jury would not have convicted. They have told us as much if they had known what the consequences were. We know from the judge that this was a severe sentence. So what we've lost is the moderation.
George Mason Law professor Ron Rotunda sees it differently. He thinks the system now ensures that judges will deliver similar sentences regardless of where a case is prosecuted. He compares mandatory minimums to laws defining the speed limit.
The cop can't arrest somebody for going 60 and another guy going 65 says, well, you had a good reason to go over 65, so we'll let you go through. No, we decide that we're going to have laws on this to try to limit the policeman's discretion. Because we find that when you give them too much discretion, it's abused. Well, policemen are no different than judges or prosecutors.
Rotunda believes that some mandatory minimum sentences are higher than they ought to be, but he says that's no reason to abolish the laws altogether.
We ought to change those minimums rather than throwing out the whole system, because the old system had a lot of its own problems. Basically, equals were treated unequally.
The prosecutors in the Dixon case believe the sentence in this case is appropriate. They point to the fact that Dixon was reprimanded twice in school for inappropriate sexual behavior, and they believe the girl was raped as she claims, despite Dixon's acquittal on those charges. The case is complicated by the fact that Dixon is black and the girl white. In Northwest Georgia, that's a significant detail. Georgia's Supreme Court will now decide whether Dixon's sentence constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. If they uphold his sentence, the 19-year-old will likely hope for a break from his last possible recourse, a gubernatorial pardon. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Atlanta.